from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agata. This is Idaho Matters. The FDA has approved a new drug for babies and toddlers to fight the nasty respiratory virus known as RSV. And there are new guidelines for screening for breast cancer. Our healthcare landscape is changing daily, and here to help us through it is Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of Idaho's Coronavirus Task Force. Dr. Pate, welcome back.
Thank you, Samantha.
And remember, if you have a public health question about COVID or anything else, send us an email. It's idahomatters@boisestate.edu. So give us a quick refresher. What is RSV and why is it so prevalent now and why is it so nasty?
Yeah, so RSV is the initials for respiratory syncytial virus. And this is a virus that's been around for quite a long time. We see it every year, typically during the cold and flu season. So, for example, if you look at last year, we saw really a big uptick in RSV infections starting in around mid-November. And it peaked in about mid-November and then gradually came down to pretty normal or low levels by around February or so. But we see this every year, and it can vary exactly when it begins, how long it lasts, and when it finally comes down. But it's generally around that timeline. And the reason that this virus is a problem is that until recently, we haven't had vaccines for it. And what happens is the very young children, premature infants, infants particularly in the first 6 months of age, because during that period of time, the baby generally isn't making its own antibodies yet. Its immune system isn't developed. So what the babies in their first 6 months of life typically rely on is the maternal antibodies that are passively transferred through the placenta to the baby to protect it for that period of time. And then really most children up to age two can be at high risk of hospitalization or more problems. And then the elderly. And in fact, we typically see during the year, we can see tens of thousands of admissions across the country for young children, but we can also see it in the elderly. And of course, if you have underlying illnesses, respiratory conditions or immunocompromised, those kinds of things, of course, that can make it worse. Older children and certainly young and middle-aged adults typically don't have any significant problems. When it does happen in children, we usually start seeing a runny nose, and then followed by in just 1 to 3 days, they will start coughing. And RSV is one of a handful of viruses that can cause like the croupy cough that most parents have heard. And the problem is in the very young infants that because they're, they haven't grown a lot and their nasal passages are small, their airways are small. And especially if the baby is still breastfeeding, they have this nasal congestion, but they also have the inflammation of their airways. And it can be very hard for the infant to breastfeed because when it's breastfeeding, it has to breathe through its nose, and that can be next to impossible. So what you might see is the child just stops eating or is incredibly fussy or doesn't appear to be as active as usual. So when these things happen, it's obviously very important to be in touch with your doctor. And so what the great news is that all of a sudden we have a flurry now of treatments and vaccines available. So just in the past few months, the FDA has approved two vaccines of RSV vaccines for adults over the age of 60. They've approved a vaccine that can be given to the pregnant mom As you remember, I was saying in that first 6 months, the baby kind of depends on the mother's antibodies. So what we do, since we can't vaccinate that baby, we vaccinate the mom while she's pregnant. She develops the antibodies. She passes them to the baby. And so that's a really clever way to protect the baby. And then we have this new treatment that you're talking about. And it was just approved on Monday by the FDA called Beyfortus. And what this is people will remember from COVID that when people got really sick, a lot of times we treated them with monoclonal antibodies. And what those are is those are antibodies that we create in the laboratory. They're synthetic. They're antibodies. And then we just... since the person is infected and sick, if we can give it early enough, we just give them the antibodies and in high levels through their veins. And that's what we did for President Trump when he got infected. And then those antibodies can help fight off the infection and prevent it from getting so severe. Well, few of your listeners may remember, we also came up with a monoclonal antibody for the immunocompromised called Evusheld. And that was a really wonderful development where these monoclonal antibodies, if you infuse them, they don't last that long. But if you modify them, you can give them in an injection where it can last for perhaps up to 6 months. Well, that's what they've done with this new drug, Beyfortus. So what we can now do is that in children up to age 2 that are at high risk, and the CDC's vaccine committee is going to meet, I think, next month to discuss exactly which kids these are, but we have a pretty good guess. And what you can do is just give them one injection of this long antibodies, and then ahead of the RSV season, and then they'll be protected for the whole season. So that's a wonderful development. They showed in the clinical trials that would reduce the risk of the child getting infected by 70 to 75%. And of course, if we can keep these young children from getting infected, then we can keep them from getting hospitalized. And of course, it's a lot easier for mom and dad.
Dr. Pate, we've had RSV for a while. Why are we just now sort of paying attention to it? Are we seeing more of it? Has there been more since COVID, during COVID? Are we just more aware of it? What's the deal?
Well, I think it's a combination of those things. We actually have been working a long time on developing a vaccine for this virus, but we just haven't had very good results. And the problem is that the protein, if you think about the coronavirus, which everybody now knows about, and we've talked about the spike protein ad nauseum, so people are aware of that. Well, it's a little bit different in the RSV, but the equivalent is that there's kind of this what's called a prefusion protein that has to modify itself to attach to the cell and invade and infect the cell. And the problem has been trying to develop a vaccine that could be effective at blocking that particular protein. But now they have figured it out. And of course, you know, that's, while the pandemic has been horrible, one of the good things about it is we learn tons of stuff scientifically as we're trying to figure out how do we develop vaccines for COVID? How do we develop therapeutics? Well, we're learning all the time. And some of these lessons are transferable to other viruses. And so, and especially with the mRNA technology that has been developed now, I think what we're going to see is a lot more of these problems that we previously just have not been successful in coming up with a very effective vaccine. Now we're going to have more success coming, and I suspect we'll see more vaccines for more viruses that have been around for a long time, but we have not been able to prevent those before.
Gotcha. And that's a really good lead-in. We do have a couple questions. Val sent us this. She said, my 2-year-old grandson has received 2 of the Pfizer vaccines for COVID. The third vaccine was not recommended because it was our understanding a more effective vaccine against the Omicron variant was being developed and tested for young children. Is that true? And if so, where are we at with that? Is there a third vaccine available, since we're talking about vaccines and developing stuff?
Not yet, but there will soon be. So the FDA's Committee on Vaccines met, it was either earlier this month or last month. I think it was early this month. I've lost track of time. But anyway, that committee reviewed all the data, and what they concluded is that we should all the manufacturers should prepare a new version of the COVID vaccine, that it should be a monovalent vaccine. What that means is just one spike protein. You remember most recently we had the bivalent vaccine mm-hmm. that had the original spike protein, plus it had a more recent, the BA4 or BA5 spike protein combined. Well, this committee said, because of how far this virus has evolved, let's just do a monovalent one, and let's use the spike protein of the most recent recombinant COVID viruses that we're seeing, which, if you remember, a recombinant virus is results from someone being infected with two different forms of the virus. And we particularly see this happen in immunocompromised people. Mm. And then the two viruses swap some of their genetic material so that you come out with, you have A virus and B virus, but now you come out with C, which is part A and part B. So those are called recombinants. And all of the COVID variants that you hear listed starting with an X, and most recently you're hearing XBB dot, and then we have lots of them. Those are recombinants. And the one the committee recommended was XBB.1.5, that we should use that for the basis of the new vaccine. And so all the drug companies are working on formulating those. I think we don't know exactly when they're going to be available. My guess is they'll be probably rolling out in September. But we'll obviously on this show, we'll let you know as soon as we have word on that. But there will be probably several different vaccine manufacturers' options, but they'll all be variations on this monovalent XBB recombinant strain that is updated. And what we're expecting is that it will be recommended for all age groups over 6 months, and it will be the new and only vaccine that you will get later in this year for COVID.
Okay, that leads us to another question. Before we get to the breast cancer screening that we were going to talk about, Ray sent us this email, and this I think maybe encapsulates what some people are feeling. He says he's current on his COVID vaccinations, Moderna, 5 total, including the bivalent in September. He did get COVID in January. He's planning an overseas trip in September or October. He's 72 years old with health issues. So here's where the question comes in. I think a lot of people are struggling with this. Would you suggest another bivalent vaccination, assuming the latest updated booster isn't out before then? And he did say he appreciates your advice, as you've provided a light in the tunnel for the past several years.
Wow. Well, that's so kind. And that is a tough question, because obviously, based on his age of 72, and his informing us that he has health issues, and obviously I don't know the exact nature or how serious I would consider those other health issues, but it certainly appears that he's going to be in a higher risk group. Now, the good news is that, as he said, he has gotten all of his prior COVID vaccines. Mm-hmm. Although, if I understood, it sounds like he only got one of the bivalent, and that one was probably last September when mm-hmm. that's when they came out. So mm-hmm. that makes sense. Then he got infected in January. So we have made a couple of changes that I think you said his name was Ray. Ray may not be aware of. One is that whereas before we used to recommend that after getting COVID, people just wait till they get symptomatically better, and then we give them another shot. That has changed because we have more understanding of the immunology and the best timing. So what we think now is that the best timing for that next COVID shot is to wait for at least 4 and perhaps up to 6 months after the infection to get the best result. The other thing Ray may not be aware of is people in his age group are approved to get a second bivalent shot. So putting that all together, what I would say is if he is going to travel internationally, and given his high risk, and given that it has been now 6 months since his last infection, and he only got one bivalent shot, particularly if I knew where he was traveling. There are some countries right now that, unlike us, where we're kind of having a lull in COVID, there are some countries that are having real problems. So if he told me he was going to Japan, for example, or Korea, I might have him rethink that. But if he's going to more commonly traveled countries, it may not be such an issue. But I think based on his age, I'd probably give him a second bivalent vaccine dose, and I'd probably just do it a couple of weeks before he planned to travel. If the travel was going to be far enough off that he could get the new vaccine that's coming out, I'd suggest he wait, let's get the new one, and go from there. In either case, the other thing for Ray to think about is just plan for the worst, hope for the best. So make sure that he's clear about wherever he's traveling. Where would he go for help if he got sick? Where could he get tested? Where could he get medications? What would be the hospital he would go to? Make sure he does his research before he travels, because you don't want to be figuring all this stuff out at the last minute. And I wrote a long blog post about all kinds of suggestions about this right before Christmas of last year. So if he wants to look at my blog, it was sometime in December, I think that I wrote a long blog post about here's all the things to think about and here's how to check out hospitals and so forth.
Gotcha. Wow. Good advice. Very good advice. Okay. We've got one minute left. Give us the new breast cancer screening recommendations.
All right. Well, the big change is that the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force recommended last month that they change the recommendation that was made in 2016 that women should start getting screening mammograms if they're otherwise at average risk from age 50. That was lowered now to age 40. Mm. And the reason they lowered the age was that the basis for the previous recommendation of starting at age 50 was largely based on studies done out of the United States and largely in white women. This was more of an acknowledgement that, that different races and ethnicities have different risks, and that technology's come a long ways, even in that last couple of decades, and that the risk versus the benefit seem to support start screening at 40 and do it every other year. And the good news is that even if you're perfectly fine at 40, as I talked to one of my daughters about, it's great to have a baseline mammogram, because maybe there's no problem now, but maybe 8-10 years from now there is, and it's always nice to be able to have an old mammogram you can look back to see, oh no, that was there before, we don't need to worry about this.
Awesome. Oh, Dr. Pate, you are fantastic. Former CEO of St. Luke's Health System, current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force, thanks so much for leading us through the craziness.
My pleasure. Be safe, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.